My intention for today is to give you an introduction in the practical aspects of the procedure for preliminary ruling. I'm sure you're all aware that the procedure provoked a large number of legal writing on the topic, and which makes it rather complicated. But in fact, the procedure is very simple if you bear in mind two basic principles, which I will touch upon later. Just practical aspects, tips and tricks, which will be useful if you are considering or requesting a preliminary ruling, or when you are drafting a preliminary ruling. Just to start with the real essential, the legal framework. As a lawyer, we always start with looking at the law, what it is about. The basics of the procedure for a preliminary ruling are stated in Article 267 of the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union. And it states that the Court of Justice has jurisdiction to rule on the interpretation of the treaty and on the interpretation and validity of acts of institutions. So two basic texts for which the Court of Justice is competent. It's a kind of cooperation between a national court and the Court of Justice. It is a sort of help function of the Court of Justice. A national decision on the interpretation or validity of European law is necessary, may ask a decision of the Court of Justice. The national courts are, in most instances, not obliged to ask for a preliminary ruling. Only courts of last resort have an obligation to ask for a preliminary ruling, but courts against whose decisions a legal remedy is available have the power, have the discretion to ask for a preliminary ruling. Most of the literature on the procedure for a preliminary ruling is about the position of the courts against whose legal decisions no legal remedy is available. And then we are talking about the acte claire and the acte éclairé. The acte claire has as a consequence that a court against whose decisions no legal remedy is available is not obliged to ask for a preliminary ruling. And acte claire in essence means that the meaning of a text is clear, is without doubt. The acte éclairé is the other exception, and it implies that the Court of Justice has already given an interpretation of the rule that is relevant to the national court. If you have any questions, please ask them by means of the chat. I think those aspects are well discussed, and to national courts that have no obligation to ask for a preliminary ruling, the acte claire and the acte éclairé are, but they may be helpful, because if the interpretation of a legal text is clear, there is less need to ask for a preliminary ruling. If the Court of Justice already has given an interpretation of the rule, there is less need to ask for a preliminary ruling. Of course, it's not excluded to ask for a preliminary ruling, but the need for such a ruling is less. The procedure, in essence, is a procedure which is regulated by division of competences. And this is really important. The Court of Justice is only allowed to give a ruling within the limits of its competence, competences conferred upon the Court of Justice in the treaty. The general rule that each institution shall act within the limits of its powers is also applicable to the European Court of Justice. So the European Court of Justice has no general competence to rule on all types of disputes. Only when the treaty provides for such a competence, the Court of Justice is competent. If you have a look at the main lines of the procedure for a preliminary ruling, as I discussed in the previous slide, you will see that the role, the power of the European Court of Justice relates to the interpretation and validity of European Union law. The Court of Justice has, at least when it comes to the procedure for a preliminary ruling, no other competences. Competences are with the national court. It's only the national court that has to decide on the necessity of a question. It's only the national court that has the power to decide on the dispute submitted to that national court. So it is the national court that has to define the scope of the dispute, that has to determine the facts of the case, and that has to decide in the dispute. This division of competences implies that the European Court of Justice has no power to add supplemental questions. The Court of Justice has no power to rule on the facts, has no power to determine which of the facts are relevant. The European Court of Justice has no power to discuss the scope of the dispute. The Court of Justice has no power to decide which facts are established as a fact and which are not. So, in essence, the basis for a successful fulfillment of a request for a preliminary ruling remains with the national court. The function of the procedure for a preliminary ruling is rather simple, just to ensure uniform interpretation. And this explains all competences of the European Court of Justice. Only what is necessary to ensure the uniform interpretation of European law is within the scope of power of the European Court of Justice. Every other aspect of a dispute in which the national court asks for a preliminary ruling remains within the sphere of powers of the national court. However, the Court of Justice provides an important contribution to the settlement of disputes by national courts, because it ensures that the national courts will give a correct interpretation and application of the European law. So it will help that the national courts apply European law correctly. In the day-to-day operation of the procedure for a preliminary ruling, it's important to be aware that it is a direct cooperation between the European Court of Justice and the national court. It's a discussion between two courts. Two courts without any hierarchy between the courts, but in a sphere of cooperation. It's a non-contentious procedure. It's a discussion between two courts. And it's maybe hard to say, the initiative of the parties is irrelevant. Parties, of course, are being heard of the procedure, but they have no other role. So the parties have no right to request a preliminary ruling. Parties themselves cannot ask for a preliminary ruling. Parties cannot amend the questions put forward by the national court. The role of the parties in the national legislation is rather limited in the procedure for a preliminary ruling. Of course, it still is relevant to their case, but the main aim of the procedure for a preliminary ruling is to provide a uniform interpretation of European law. And that scope, that aim, is a different one than settling the dispute between the parties. So, 2 points are really essential for the understanding of the procedure for a preliminary ruling. The first is the division of competences between the European Court of Justice and the referring court. Only if you understand that division of competences, you will understand what you have to do when you are asking for a preliminary ruling. The second point that is essential for the understanding of the procedure for a preliminary ruling is that it all relates to communication, talking to each other, with all the difficulties that talking to each other entails. When we are talking to a break, we have all types of misunderstandings. And those misunderstandings multiply when we are talking to people that talk literally a different language. When we are talking to courts that operate in a different legal culture. So when you are dealing with the procedure for a preliminary ruling, you have to be aware of all those difficulties. You have to ensure that you make yourself far more clear, far more explicit than you will be doing when you are talking to your colleague next door. Because the Court of Justice is not allowed to rule on the national litigation. The Court of Justice cannot determine the scope of the dispute. The Court of Justice cannot rule on national laws. The Court of Justice cannot deal with the interpretation of the national laws. The Court of Justice has only one limited power, and that is to answer your question. So, asking for a preliminary ruling, in essence, means communicating with the Court of Justice, and in essence implies that you have to explain everything in a very clear way. You have to explain everything what you know of your national law to someone who is intelligent, is a lawyer, but does not have any significant knowledge of the national legal system. You have to explain the relevance of your questions to someone who is not familiar with the national dispute. So only what you explain to the court is known to the court. Everything is about communication, making yourself clear. Everything is about understanding, the understanding of the European Court of Justice, of your wishes, of your conditions, of your dispute. And when you are reading a judgment given by the European Court of Justice, everything, again, is about communication. What the Court of Justice understood of the national conflict in which it has to answer a request for a plenary ruling, and what you understand, or what the Court of Justice understood, of the request by a national court. The communication will be very difficult, of course. You are asking your questions in your own national language, which will not be understood by most of the judges sitting in the European Court of Justice. Your questions will be translated, and translating implies a risk that something is not understood properly by the translators. So use plain language, use risk. If you understand these essentials, you will be able to participate to the working sessions.